Yeah, great song. Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream on Kildare's KFM. Have to say I enjoyed that one, and looking forward to hearing more music like that on K-Country with Liam Kett later on this evening between 8 and 10 o'clock. Now, last weekend, the children's charity Barrettstown here in Kildare that offers free, specially designed camps and programmes for children and their families living with a serious illness reopened their gates and welcomed campers and their families back to experience their life-changing therapeutic programmes. Indeed, very, very good news and very welcome news as well. Dia Hearn is CEO of Barrettstown. Dee, good morning.
Good morning, Owen. How are you today?
I'm very well. How are you? You must be delighted out there at Barrettstown to be reopened.
Oh, we're absolutely thrilled. Last weekend was so important for Barrettstown. Families all over Ireland who have a seriously ill child need Barrettstown's therapeutic programmes now, Owen, more than ever. These families all have one thing in common. They all have a seriously ill child and a child who's immunocompromised and therefore vulnerable. And the reality of it is, Owen, these were the first children to go into lockdown and they're going to be the last to come out. So these families really needed to come to Barrettstown where they know they'll be safe. They know, of course, that they're going to have lots and lots of fun. But most importantly, they know that we have a 24-hour on-site medical facility to cater for all of their medical needs. So it really was a very emotional weekend, and we're all set to welcome more families this coming weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I just want to take it back to March of last year. It must have been heartbreaking to have to close your gates in March of 2020, make that difficult decision, and to postpone all residential camp programmes due to, obviously, the pandemic. It's been quite a long year as well, Dee.
It has indeed. It's hard to believe that we were closed for over 14 months. And back in March when we made that very difficult decision, we knew from talking to parents all over Ireland that they really needed us. So we had to find a way to bring our programmes to these children and families in their homes all over Ireland. So I'm glad to say and very proud of the team in Barrettstown. We were able to pivot very, very quickly, and we developed an online platform called Barrettstown Live. So every weekend we were able to bring the magic of Barrettstown therapeutic programmes into the homes of these families. And it was great fun. I mean, we learned a lot along the way, and every Saturday and Sunday these programmes, 25 families would log on to take part in a Saturday programme or a Sunday programme. And in advance of the programme, these families received a Barrettstown Live kit, which is a great big box full of lots of fun stuff that the families needed to be able to take part in that day of programming. So that was invaluable to us, and many families have since said to us that, you know, we were the only organisation out there who were able to keep the families connected during this very, very difficult time. But there's no doubt it's fantastic to have our gates open again. And I suppose if we could take a positive from COVID-19, it's the fact that we were able to, in fact, serve some children who might never be able to come to Barrettstown because of their medical diagnosis. So that's a positive, and we're going to continue to do that. We currently have two amazing studios that are being completed here at Barrettstown, thankfully, thanks to the sponsorship of one of our amazing donors. So that's going to provide a fantastic new activity area for our campers when they're on site, but also it will enable us to continue to deliver those virtual programmes to those campers who just cannot come to Barrettstown.
And you touched on it there. I mean, the children who come to Barrettstown are living with serious illness, and they would be medically vulnerable, and throw in a pandemic on top of that, it must have been very, very difficult, not only for the children, but for the families, and also anybody else who was living with a serious illness over the last year and a half. So it will give them a massive lift and a massive boost to be able to come back and have those in-person activities.
For sure, Owen. And what makes it safe for those families is the knowledge that Barrettstown has a medical facility on site here at Barrettstown. It's called the MedShed. And we have doctors and nurses on site. So children who are on active treatment can have their treatment while they're here. And a child who's completed their treatment, their parents are also safe in the knowledge that while they're here as a family, that if anything should, and, you know, touch wood, nothing goes wrong, but that they're in a very safe place and they're in the right place because we can help them. But, you know, there's no doubt serious illness is really devastating for children and families. Life is put on pause. everything that families took for granted is put on hold, and it's replaced with doctor's visits, hospital appointments, and often grueling treatment. So that's why Bardstown is important. We help to press play on childhood again, and all of our therapeutic programs are designed to rebuild confidence, independence, and self-esteem.
Yeah, I let out a little chuckle there. I think the MedShed is a brilliant name. And that just kind of highlights the magic that there is at Barrettstown. There's so many activities, arts and crafts, drama, Lego, adventure games, mini golf, canoeing, fishing, baking, movie making. And that's only some of the activities, I'm sure.
That is only some of the activities. So at Barrettstown, we like to say that the children arrive at the gate, they leave their illness at the gate, and then they, as you said, take part in some of the many, many activities. And, you know, every programme is intentional. It's designed to ensure success. So, for example, you know, we've got stables here at Barrettstown. We could have a child who's really, really, really nervous of horses, and we will encourage that child to maybe pat the horse or to lead the horse around our stables. And that evening then, during cottage chat, we'll reflect on the success that that child has had during the course of their day here at Barrettstown. And so, you know, for children, it really has become all about the things that they cannot do, but at Barrettstown, it's about everything they can do. So building their confidence and building up their independence, which is very important. But there's lots of activities, you name them.
Yeah, from the charities' perspective, though, like nearly all charities around the country, you had to cancel and postpone many, if not all, of your key fundraising initiatives. So the income, did it suffer at all over the last year?
Oh, it did. It absolutely did. I mean, it was very tough on many charities. Oh, you know, all of those in-person events that you've mentioned, all of those, you know, big events that we rely on for fundraising all had to be cancelled. But very proud of our fundraising team as well. Just like our programme team, they pivoted very quickly and moved to online events. A big event we hold every year is our Dublin Mountain Challenge, so we moved to virtual challenges. We also brought our corporate quiz to a virtual audience, and instead of running one event, we were running a corporate quiz every month. But it did have an impact on our income. Our income was down by approximately €1 million. So we established a Rising to the Challenge fund to help us to raise some of that income that we'd lost out on it. But by the same token, Owen, we also were able to look at all of our costs and pivot very quickly as well to reduce costs in every area we possibly could to make sure that we could continue to deliver those virtual programmes. And by the end of last year, I'm glad to say that we had served just under 7,000 campers, you know, against the backdrop of all the challenges that COVID-19 had put in our way.
I think you do absolutely fantastic work, and you're a credit to the local community here in Kildare, and of course the wider community around the country as well. If members want to support Barrettstown, or members of the public, I should say, you can go onto the website www.barrettstown.org. And I'd say, Dee, just finally, when all those children came in and you saw the smiles on their faces, you nearly forgot about the last 14 or 15 months.
Completely. I can tell you honestly that when the first family arrived up our avenue, there was not a dry eye here in Barrettstown. The excitement, but the emotion was huge. So emotional to see those families back. And there's just such a buzz around the place. I mean, we're getting ready for families to arrive tomorrow, and you know, it's what Barrettstown's all about. It's the magic of Barrettstown. It's fantastic, and it's great to see it.
Well, listen, Dee Ahern, CEO of Barrettstown, keep up the good work, and many thanks for joining us on the programme this morning.
Thanks a million, Owen. Thank you.
That's Dee Ahern, CEO of Barrettstown. Fantastic work. And, of course, if you want to check out their website and donate, you can do so by going to www.barrettstown.org. Let's go to local issues then on the Naas Municipal District and the recent meeting. And joining me now is Fine Gael Councillor Evie Salmon. Evie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
Not too bad. Let's take a look then at the motions that you brought forward. First of all, you were asking the council to conduct a cleaning operation of the site opposite Carra Court and erect a fence at the entrance to the site to prevent future dumping and bonfire material gathering. Now, Evie, I think this is not the first time you've raised this issue.
No, it's not. And I know a once-off cleaning operation was undertaken on the site earlier this year, but I'd like to see it more secure. The councillor saying there's no funding for an erection of fencing, but at the moment I think it's falling between the housing department and the environment department to clean this up every time there is an issue of illegal dumping, and it has been a site for bonfires around around Halloween time in the past. So look, you know, I'm not overly happy with the response that there's no funding, because I think we're going to be putting the money into cleaning it up. It is council land, and there is a Part 8 being prepared for housing on it. So hopefully that will come sooner rather than later to get some bit of control on the site and a solution found.
There was a joint motion as well in under the name of councillors Carmel Kelly, Fintan Brett, Anne Breen, Bill Clear, Colm Kenny and yourself, Evie, that the council implement bylaws for the control of dogs in the Naas Municipal District under Local Government Act 1994. What does that mean?
Yeah, so we were looking for bylaws like other counties have, but they came back to us and said that they thought the legislation was strong enough without bylaws for the control of dogs. And there is legislation there, but I suppose it's how we implement it. And if we're not implementing it in the best way, do we need bylaws to back it up in the county? Just for this year, from the start of 2021 to the end of April, we had 6 surrendered dogs, 11 seized, 4 reclaimed, and 12 rehomed. You know, it's an issue all over the county, and I get that dog wardens can't be in all places at all times, but we have had a lot of complaints in Naas. The wardens are also relying on people to report incidents and act as a witness. And I did have good results in Ballymore where someone did the same, but often members of the public can be reluctant to do this. But look, you know, there's no excuse for fouling, and it is it's a health issue at the end of the day, and we've had reports of children across the county, you know, picking it up on shoes and being unwell afterwards. I think the issue of having dogs off leads really highlights the need for a dog park in the Naas MD, because it can be intimidating to other walkers to see dogs off leads. So, you know, it's something we need to look at overall and address in the county, because it's not going away.
And just on that note, Evie, we've been contacted by a number of listeners in the Naas area who go walking in Monreed Park, and they've said that the dog poo bag dispensers in the park have been empty for the last considerable amount of time, maybe 2 to 3 months. Now, I understand that there was maybe a changeover with providers of the doggy bags, but I believe that hasn't been sorted, and that's obviously going to add to the issue.
Yeah, it is, and like there is a delay in restocking them, but to be quite blunt, I suppose we have had this issue even when there was dog bags there, and you know, I want to see them restocked as soon as possible, and it is a supplier issue, but the issue's ongoing since before that even, and really we need people on the ground to be watching that and making sure that people are cleaning up after their dogs.
Okay, Fine Gael councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Evie Salmon.
Sorry, come in on one issue, Owen, that myself and yourself would have discussed before. It's just on the progress report at the council about traffic issues at the Pipers Hill Education Campus.
Yep.
It's almost 2 years ago since myself and yourself met at a public meeting about this. The roads planning team have finally requested a meeting with KWETB and Ballymore Properties. KWETB are costing the road safety report that was done for them last year for the campus. So I've asked that a residents association representative is also in attendance at the meeting.
Do we have a time frame for this meeting?
Before, not yet. Just waiting on a response from KWETB. So as soon as there is one, I'll let residents and the schools there know, and your listeners. So look, it's finally movement, but it's 2 years, and I'd like to see this resolved before all the schools down there reopen in September.
Yeah, well, over the course of the summer would make sense to have that meeting and to hopefully get it sorted by September, because the traffic issue out on the Killishy Road there towards Pipers Hill is a nightmare for a lot of parents heading out there in the morning. But listen, Evie Salmon, many thanks for that, and good morning to you. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Councillor Evie Salmon on the Naas Municipal District. Okay, we'll take a break. Lots more to come after this.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, it is National Carers Week. It began on the 7th of June and it runs till the 13th. And I am joined by the Head of Communications and Carer Engagement for Family Carers Ireland, Catherine Cox. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Ciara.
Catherine, obviously a lot going on, a lot of events at the moment to do with National Carers Week, but just take it back a couple of steps. Obviously the past 16 months have been devastating for carers. They have been absolutely worked off their feet. If you look at the Family Carers Ireland homepage, you can note how much carers are in this country. 500,000 family carers in this country, €20 billion, that's the amount carers saved the state, and 19 million number of unpaid hours per week provided by carers. No doubt the pandemic just made this all so much worse.
Absolutely. And we did some research, I suppose, right in the middle of COVID last year around March, called Caring Through COVID. And we spoke with over 1,300 family carers across the country. And they talked about the huge impact, particularly on their mental health and well-being, but also around financial struggles as well during the pandemic, because a lot of families saw their services closed down, whether it was day services, school, particularly maybe families with children and young adults as well, lost essential therapies. So they watched their children regress before their eyes. So it has been particularly difficult. Obviously, it's been difficult for everybody in society, but for carers, they really have had to cocoon. They've had to suppress the virus coming into their home because they knew if the person they were caring for got it, it could. I suppose, kill them in the end. And then if the carer themselves got it, they would no longer be able to care. And their big worry was then who will look after their loved ones. So it's been particularly difficult. And I suppose halfway through the pandemic, we looked at, okay, how can we best support carers? So we did set up a crisis fund. And with that money, we have literally put food on tables, bought oil for tanks. We've paid for therapies for children who lost them and were able to get them privately. In some cases, we paid for nursing hours for one family so the mum could get a night's sleep so she could just continue caring the next day and beyond. So it has been very practical support, and also we have put in place free counselling for family carers because that emotional impact that it has had has been huge.
Catherine, we're hearing more and more about personal stories of carers. Tina Gates is somebody obviously Family Carers Ireland knows very well, and she's been on this show a few times. She's taking care of her 96-year-old father. She actually tweeted yesterday that her father was very obviously upset in some way, and during the night he barged around the house, is how she has it here in quotes in her tweet, for 13 hours before finally being persuaded to sleep on the mattress. She noted he was back out of bed by 8:30 the next morning, and then last night he went to the floor at about 3 a.m. with his mattress and slept there. It is just non-stop for these carers, and I don't think the general public realise. Tina said herself she didn't even consider applying for a carer's allowance until last year.
Absolutely, and I think you're right. When carers are in the middle of this, it is just so difficult just to get from day to day, particularly if you're talking about things like sleep deprivation, you know, where the person you're caring for is up most of the night. Quite often family carers don't even self-identify as a family carer, and Tina has talked about this. And by not self-identifying, because, you know, somebody like Tina would say, look, it is, I'm caring for my dad, it's my duty, and I want to do it out of love. And so they get on with it. But unless they self-identify as a family carer, they're also not aware of what supports and services are out there for them and how they might access them. So that's why it is so important. And the message to send out to family carers, if you are either starting on the journey as a family carer or maybe halfway through that journey, wherever you might be in that journey, please do contact us, you know, Family Carers Ireland. We are here to help. We provide advocacy and lobbying, but we also provide very practical supports. and that might be somebody going in for a night and giving a carer just a night's sleep. So do come to us. We can help. I'm not saying we can help 500,000 carers across the whole country.
Yeah, but help is available. Yes.
Exactly, it is. And there are supports out there. And I would say people to contact our free phone care line, which is 1-800-24-07-24.
Yeah. We will give that out again at the end of the interview. I just want to go through some stats here with you, Catherine. Over 1,600 people, 1,600, they're on the waiting list for home support packages. And Kildare falls into the CHO 7 area. And of these, 1,076 are in the community of CHO 7. That includes Kildare, West Wicklow and parts of West and South Dublin. That is staggering figures.
It is, and actually I would think that that figure is understated, because I know last year the figure for on waiting lists for home health hours was somewhere around 8,000. I think the figure has reduced actually over the last year, because many families weren't in a position to take somebody in to their home for a home care package, because families were cocooning. There was a fear there that obviously the virus might come into their home. So actually I would think that the people out there that are waiting for home care packages and home care support, the list is actually probably far greater and far much longer than that. So look, there is a huge problem in this country around home support and accessing it. We've talked about this before. It's like a postcode lottery. Where you live determines what support you will and what you won't get. It is completely inconsistent, unfair, inequitable. And one of the proposals that we have put to government, and it's about 3 years ago and we're still putting it there, is that they put in place what we call a carer's guarantee, which is where regardless of where a carer lives, they would have access to the basic supports they need to care safely. And that's training, that's respite most importantly, that's also looking at maybe their housing needs. So it is crucial that family carers can continue to care and do it safely, but they need that support from our government. And we really do need government to step up coming out of this pandemic. You know, they didn't put carers as priority for vaccination. They didn't prioritise them for PPE. Now is the time to do the right thing and really put in place supports for family carers as we come out of this.
Catherine, I just want to note on a lighter note that obviously it's National Carers Week, as I said at the beginning of the interview, but Pause for a Cause is the association's national fundraising and awareness campaign. Just tell people a little bit how they can get involved and support Family Carers Ireland.
I will, of course. So Pause for a Cause, and the pause is spelled P-A-W-S, so we're encouraging everybody out there to get out walking this week with your dogs if you have a dog, and if you don't, that doesn't matter. Just get out walking and talking and doing meeting people, obviously abiding by all our social distancing rules and regulations, but just to get out, get a bit of fresh air. If people can, we encourage them to walk 24k over the next 7 days, and that 24k just I suppose reflects the 24/7 nature of caring, so that's why we use it. But it's just about getting people, I suppose, supporting our fundraising campaign as well. All the money raised over this week goes back into our crisis fund for family carers. So it allows us to continue supporting those carers as they, I suppose, come through and beyond post-COVID.
Yeah.
So for people to do it, go onto our website. It's www.familycarers.ie. You'll see a big button there to register.
And a lovely Dalmatian.
Absolutely fabulous with the runners. And also, if people don't want to do it, it's only €20, and for an extra €5 you can get a fabulous bandana for your dog, or for an extra €10 you can get a fabulous t-shirt. But you can just do €20, or even if you don't have €20, donate what you can. Press the donate button and please do support the campaign. It's really important.
Okay, well, Catherine Cox, the head of communications and care engagement with Family Carers Ireland, as always, thank you for joining us. And just to give out the national free phone care line number again, it's 1-800-24-07-24. Back to you, Owen.
Yeah, looking at local issues once again, and we go now to the Clane Maynooth Municipal District meeting, which took place earlier this week, or actually towards the end of last week now. And Councillor Peter Hamilton, a Green Party councillor on the Clane Maynooth MD. Good morning to you, Peter.
Owen, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good, good. Two motions that you brought forward then to the meeting. First of all, a question was, could the council provide an update on the current status of the sustainable transport projects in this municipal district? What response did you get in relation to it?
Yeah. Before I go into that, it's tough to follow the last speaker and hear the challenges faced by carers and the wonderful support that dogs can provide in that situation. The move in sustainable transport has honestly been one of the highlights of the year, if not from my perspective, the highlight. The programme for government put forward $250 million nationwide, and Kildare has done a good job in transitioning far that. We used to spend $35 million a year on roads. We still do $35 million a year every year, not to mention what the NTA spend. But this year, they moved on setting up a sustainable transport design team. You don't have designs, you can't put forward the bids for the funding. And now have five engineers led by a new senior engineer. So this is fantastic capacity to design and manage new projects and be front of the line in drawing from that central government fund. Kildare already got almost $8 million this year out of that national fund for a set of projects. And to be a little specific, in Maynooth, Cock, Clane and Prosperous, there are four major projects in Maynooth, the well-kept secret. So the long-awaited Mill Street upgrade connecting the north and south of the town is about ready to go to tender, with a land acquisition being finalised. There's $500,000 for Meadowbrook Road cycling project, and design funds for the most critical Selbridge Road junction, which is a very difficult junction with two schools out the road, and also for the Kilcock Road at the university. So that's excellent. Now, pushing the positive, because we want to keep going with it, with the positive. Maynooth has been identified as Kildare's decarbonised zone. I discussed that with Clem about 2 weeks ago as the kind of pathfinder, and completing the project so we connect a cycling infrastructure, start to get to the point where getting around town by bikes and walking is as it should be for our reduced carbon future, would be a goal, and then start to get things going in the key parts of Kilcock, Clane and Prosperous. There's a project from Wrybridge in Kilcock being worked through, mostly developer-led, but that's a very positive connection now that provides a connection off the road. So this one was the highlight, and I wanted to thank the roads team for being very energetic and aim for more of the positive, basically. We don't hear it often enough.
Yeah, there was also emotion. Certainly that is good news, and well done to the road section there on that news. But you had emotion as well that the council plans the installation of water drinking fountains into public realm and street improvement projects in the municipal district.
Yeah, not such a good story. And that was the more challenging one. Since the COVID pandemic, we're back in our takeaways, and huge amount of temporary or one-off products are now being used because of the fear and risk of contamination, and that's completely understandable now, but we've forgotten that whole plastics challenge. It's gone to the back of our minds, and it'll be great if we can start to take it back to the front of our mind and start thinking of those coffee cups, water bottles, takeaway pints, etc., etc., etc. Councillors have been passing motions to add water fountains to our streets back as far as 2016. I think Theresa Murray put the first one through for the Main Street, Maynooth, in 2016. And almost nothing has happened across the entire county on this in the whole period of time and the whole focus on plastics. Last year, I put a motion on this, and the response was they would be included in the public realm upgrades and projects. That was a good response then, because they didn't have to do it then. When I put the motion last week to put it into the public realm projects ongoing, the Mill Street I mentioned, the Square and Main Street and Maynooth and the Harbour Field, the council's response was a complete surprise, like they'd never heard it before, even though it had been their own response last year. So that was frustrating for all councillors who've been putting things through. After discussions, the public realm team, who are one of our more proactive teams, they're really making a difference across the county, but they picked it up and said they would look at it in the projects. Myself and my colleagues in the Green Party, we will keep just a continuing focus on this through our MDs.
Okay.
Selbridge. I'll just say one thing.
Very quickly, Peter, yep.
Yeah. Harbour Field is a $7 million project. Not putting the pipework for 5,000 for a water fountain would be typical of the case that we go back and spend five times as much to put it in later. So it's not that these are expensive. There's a maintenance cost. But in the scope of these projects, it just would be criminal not to design this in. And have it in from the beginning. Thanks for the extra few minutes.
Okay, Green Party councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District with those motions and issues that he brought forward to the recent meeting. Councillor Peter Hamilton, many thanks for the time this morning. Ciara, just want to catch up then on an issue that we brought up on the programme on Tuesday. Michael Cross, he's a listener in Beechgrove in Rathangan. He told us that the council had come out to his house, had measured his house for a new air-to-water heating system. They said they were going to install that heating system. They were going to put in new doors and new windows into the house as well. Subsequently, he didn't order turf because he believed he would have this new heating system in a matter of months, really. So we had him on Tuesday. We got in contact with the Kildare County Council and we've had a response. Ciara, what did they say?
Yeah, so they said the National Energy Efficiency Retrofit Scheme is a government initiative with the objective of increasing the building energy rating, BER, in upgraded houses to B2. In tandem with the scheme, the National University of Ireland, Galway, is conducting a study, Haven Study, into the benefits of energy retrofit works. This study is being conducted by means of air quality analysis in addition to before and after questionnaires. All residents are encouraged to partake in this valuable study. Preliminary survey work and engagement with residents for the Energy Efficiency Retrofit Programme has commenced in a number of Kildare County Council housing estates. The council has been provided with a budget by government to complete circa 150 units this year. Beechgrove Rathangan was selected as one of the estates to be included for the Energy Efficiency Retrofit Works programme in 2021. Preliminary surveys were conducted to houses at Beechgrove and to houses in other estates selected to form part of this year's programme. Criteria requirements were finalised by the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage in quarter one of 2021. Not all houses included in the preliminary surveys meet the department's criteria, two of which are in the Beechgrove estate. Kildare County Council has contacted the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage to examine if houses which are outside the criteria might be approved for a pilot scheme in 2021. Kildare County Council is awaiting a response. It was anticipated that the windows and doors in the houses in Beechgrove may have to be replaced. However, following surveys, it was determined that this will not be required and that they will meet the criteria through other upgrade works that will allow for the houses to achieve a BER rating of B2. The savings achieved by not replacing doors and windows will allow for an additional 50 houses to be upgraded. Additionally, it was anticipated that the upgrade works at Beechgrove would commence in May 2021. However, as COVID-19 restrictions remain in place, it is now expected that the works will commence in Beechgrove in July 2021, subject to restrictions and controls being eased.
Okay, thanks for that, Ciara, and we'll get back in touch with Michael Cross, that listener from Rathangan as well, to bring him the response that Kildare County Council gave us in relation to his query. A couple of messages coming in then on the WhatsApp, and Ciara, just in relation to the interview that you did with Catherine Cox, the Head of Communications and Carer Engagement with Family Carers Ireland. Ciara, we are carers to three kids and we go day to day on about 4.5 hours sleep at night. I mean, all I can say is the work that carers do is just absolutely fantastic, and I take your hat off to you. Another message here as well, talking about carers. We have my wife's mother who has dementia. I won't say where she's living. There's a lovely girl living and looking after my wife's mother, and she was refused carer's allowance using what you say stupid excuses for refusing her claim. So I'm not entirely sure what those excuses were, but thanks indeed for getting in touch with us this morning. And finally for now, morning Owen, it would be great if businesses in the towns would put out drinking water in bowls for the dogs during the summer like they do in all of England. Yeah, I think that might be a good idea. I know some companies and some businesses do it out on the put the bowls of water out on the streets, because if we think it's warm, you can be rest assured that the dogs are finding it very, very warm as well. And particularly over the coming weeks, the temperature is to get even hotter. It mightn't be sunny, but it's certainly hot, like today, quite humid. Highest temperatures of up to 23 degrees. Lots more to come after the break.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
All right, just want to remind you that the first in a series of live pilot concerts is taking place tonight at the Ivy Gardens in Dublin. James Vincent McMorrow and special guest Sirka Richardson will play to 500 people at the show, which is presented by the National Concert Hall with the support of the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media, the OPW and Dublin City Council. The National Concert Hall streaming that live. Tickets to the gig sold out instantly, no surprise. They were available in pods of up to a maximum of four people. Gates open at 5:30 with the concert starting at 7 o'clock sharp, and I think it is brilliant to see the return of live music, and hopefully we get back to some sort of normality, because as I mentioned there earlier on in the programme, the music industry really has been hit very, very badly in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic. Right, back to the Clane Maynooth Municipal District meeting then. Fianna Fáil Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick, good morning to you, Dara.
Good morning, Owen. How are you this morning?
Not too bad. A number of motions then that you brought up at the meeting, and we'll start off with number 24 on the clore, asking the council to confirm that plans are in place to repair the streetlights in Robertstown that are not working. Is Robertstown in the dark out there?
Well, it's not in the dark, but there's a lot of Robertstown haven't got streetlights, they've lanterns, nice lanterns, ornate lanterns.
Yeah.
And a lot of them aren't working at the moment. And it's just nice to see that the council have recognised that a lot of them aren't working, and they've ordered a complete set of new lanterns for the village, and there'll be LED as well. So that's a plus, you know, energy saving. They're changing all the lanterns in the village as soon as they have delivery. So look, it'll happen sometime in the near future. And please God, there'll be lights in Robertstown for the winter.
You were looking for the council to invite Waterways Ireland to present to the Municipal District Committee about the new Greenway and Blueway initiatives on the Grand Canal. Now, we saw this talked about over the last while. The Minister, I believe, visited Ballyteague also in relation to it. So, good news, and hopefully it continues.
Look, the Greenway and the Blueway is one of the biggest projects for the whole county of Kildare and for the whole Leinster region. And it's a project that is well welcomed, and it'll be well received by everybody. You see through the pandemic, the amount of people that are actually walking the canal banks. If you're at Digby Bridge there any Sunday morning, there's loads of traffic and loads of people parked around it. And everybody's out walking, which is good for everybody. It's healthy. And the Blueway and the Greenway will add to that, and will bring tourism into the town, into the whole county. And for that reason, I'm asking Waterways Ireland, if there's not an awareness there already, it's increased an awareness. And I look forward to meeting with Waterways Ireland in this project, and to having a proper consultation about where we're going around the canal banks of the county of Kildare, with a view to bringing them forward into nice walking Greenway and Blueway.
And was there any specific areas in the county that you had specified specifically, or is it just the Blueway in general and the Greenway?
It's just the whole Blueway in general, right through. I walked canal banks here from Digby Bridge to Robertstown and on up to Lawtown, and there's some of it done and there's some of it not done. I'd like to just put a definite as to the project is going to start in a particular area on a particular date and finish, and that we have a definite end to the works on the Blue Way and looking forward to be open and to be completely use and user friendly, and just really looking forward to the end of this particular venture and welcoming it openly.
Yeah, you also then finally, Dara, had a question asking the council to confirm if it has advanced plans to build houses on the medical centre site in Derren Turn. Now, I know where this site is. Has the medical centre been knocked down, or are they going to build it beside it?
No, they're building it on the land of the medical centre, and they're putting an area in, a community area then for the locals as well.
Okay.
This is a welcome project. It's going to happen probably quarter one, quarter two of next year. They've brought plans to us in the past, last year, and look at it, it's a site that's left, and it's only going to go into disrepair if it's left much longer. And it'll be a welcome site and a welcome project when it is complete. I look forward to completion. And just if I had one more on earlier on the agenda there about the footpath from Allenwood Cross through to the Actel, through to where the new playground is going, Allenwood. The playground will be delivered in quarter one of next year, hopefully. And look at, there'll be a huge need then among the residents in Allenwood for a footpath from the crossroads to the centre. And I'm just hoping that we can start this process. It won't happen in 1 year, but if you could do it over a 2 or 3 year time to deliver a footpath the whole way
to
the crossroads.
We were talking to Councillor Brendan Wise about this on Tuesday, and I was surprised that there wasn't actually a path from the centre of the village of Allenwood out to the GAA pitch and further beyond.
Yeah, and as well as that, Owen, like there's houses been built on what people would know as the back road, locally, and there's bits of footpath, but there's no consultation about joining up these little bits. And I would hope that the area engineer and ourselves could meet on site and walk the road and identify where we can deliver a footpath to at a cost, and try identify the cost and move it forward slowly and get the footpath delivered up to Actel, because the opening of the playground in Allenwood will be a huge project for the people and the locals around Allenwood, and it'll be well used and well welcomed.
Yeah, absolutely. Fianna Fáil councillor on the claim, Maynooth Municipal District, Dara Fitzpatrick. Good morning to you, Dara, and thanks as always for joining us on the programme. Just before we take a quick break and sign off then at 11 o'clock, another message coming in to us. Morning, Owen. Do people that own dogs want everyone to cater for their dog poo bags, water put outside by businesses? If you own a dog, you should have all them facilities for them yourself, or else you shouldn't have a dog, says Sean in Athy. Yeah, I suppose the issue, Sean, is if you're out on a walk with the dog and maybe the temperature gets very warm, it would be nice to have a bowl of water provided by the business. I see your point, but not everybody is going to carry a bottle of water around for their dog. And yeah, in relation to the dog poo bags, I agree. If you're bringing a dog out for a walk, you need to bring the bags yourself, because it is your responsibility. But also, the fact that the dispensers in Monreid Park haven't been filled for the best part of 2 to 3 months is not acceptable, in my opinion, either. And also, that view would be shared by quite a lot of listeners that have got in touch with the programme also, but thanks indeed for the message. Just one final thing as well. There's an investment of €115,000 to support Kildare Sports Partnership projects, according to Martin Hayden. He sent this in to us this morning. Fine Gael, Kildare South TD and Minister of State, he welcomed the funding of that amount from the Dormant Accounts Fund to Kildare Sports Partnership for key sports activities and training in Kildare. Monastrevin Sports Hub will receive €43,680, while the Athy Sports Hub will receive €21,955. He went on to say that Kildare Sports Partnership has also received funding of €50,000 for other programmes such as Youth Leadership Projects, €15,000, Volunteer Training and Support Programmes, €15,000, and Sports Inclusions Disability Capital Programme Supports as well for €20,000. Thanks indeed to Martin Hayden for getting in touch in regards to that one.
Kildare Today with Owen.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. KFM.
All right, that's just about all we have time for on the programme this morning. Thanks to you at home for listening and getting in touch as well by text, WhatsApp, email and on social media. Thanks to Ciara Noble on production and for presentation duties as well. Ciara will be back with Ciara Plunkett between 2 and 3 on Kildare Focus this afternoon. A reminder, the Kildare Today and Kildare programmes are podcast on our website and also repeated each and every night from 10 o'clock. John Dunn is up next with the 11 to 2 show. For me, Owen Beatty and Ciara Noble, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Let's go to the newsroom and Ciara Plunkett.